to the Nightbird Radio Podcast. I'm Timothy Saylor, and I'm going to be your host this evening as we sound out the subconscious, navigate the nocturnal, and explore the farthest reaches of our experience. Coming at you from the back of an 86 Dodge Ram van on the rolling foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains in the great forest, deep in the heart of the Kali Yuga. This is radio for the hauntological turn. And welcome back, Nightbirds. It's great to have you back, and it's great to be back. This week, I'm joined by returning guest Marissa Gambarudi, who is a somatic sex educator, a magical practitioner. What else are you, Marissa?
Composting ancestor.
Composting ancestor, yes. I like that. She can be followed on Instagram at Inheriting Ecstasy, and you can find all her stuff on marissagambarudi.com. That's M-A-R-I-S-S-A G-A-M-B-E-R-U-T-T-I.com. Marissa, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Living, you know.
What's that like?
it's kind of similar to dying.
It's the same thing as dying, I would say.
Yes.
That thing about duality, right? Like, we talked about this before. We talk about this a lot. We were just talking about this before we hit record, that remembering.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, on the other side of remembering is forgetting. But in order to do one, I have to do the other.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no coming home if I didn't go on the quest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the living and the dying are both on the same, you know, like people say it was a life or death struggle. But I actually think that the struggle that's happening more often is like life and not life.
Mm-hmm. Can you say more about not life?
Yeah. Like, so it may be easier to compare it to death, right? Like, so death is a part of life. So like life and death struggle, like life and death is not a dichotomy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there it's two sides of like an imaginary binary or like an experienced binary that isn't actually binary at all. Like death is the end goal of life. Like a butterfly is the end goal of a caterpillar.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, obviously then a caterpillar again. And so not life would be, I don't know, maybe there isn't any.
Would not life be like not death? Like just like, okay.
Undeath. Yeah. Like so, being undead, like a zombie.
Leonora Carrington has, and this is my very like surface level understanding of Leonora Carrington that I have picked up from The Wisdom of Jesse. And what I understand is that Leonora Carrington has this philosophy of two sides of that coin are stasis and renewal. And so I would see like stasis as being something akin to not life because you're not moving, you're not doing anything. And renewal is that process of going through like birth and death and just like being in the cycle and allowing the cycle to kind of move you or you move through the cycle. So not life is not doing anything.
Yeah. And I think, go ahead.
And just like, because I think about this in like the wider context. We also touched on like what is the context of a war god in like a pacifist anarchist view. And I think that there is place for war when we're realizing that it's like a war against something like stasis or something like a spirit that's encouraging stasis. And I think that even just like projection, like constant projection upwards, like constant like progress forwards, like that could even be considered like a stasis, like not letting something like crumble, like it's time for you to die, it's time for this to go away, is being like stuck in that one point.
Like the pursuit of profit increase every quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And like what that's doing, like that's not sustainable. That's not going to work. It's that's
all
interesting
because
really it's like a lack of all gas, no brakes. I think to me, what really, when you were talking, what I started thinking of was, it's like a lack of alignment, because I don't think they're actually. I don't think we experience stasis. Well, like we do experience it, but I don't think that's like actually really a part of this, at least this particular incarnation, right? Because everything is always in flux all the time. I am disintegrating before you as I speak. There are cells dying on me. There are cells being born. It's the ship of Theseus, right? Where like I'm more of this like wave or river of beings that is kind of flowing before you now. Now, the way you experience me may be as a static being. I appear solid because we can't see all the space that exists within us. There's most, like, if you look at a, you know, and this is just one model, but at like a molecular model, there's just all space. That's, you're mostly void. You're you're the Ganunga gap, you know? And sometimes you got to get licked by a cow in order for some people to fall out of that. But so when my experience doesn't align with my actual reality, that's where I think I start to have, I don't think it's always like a huge problem, but I think it, when it's like, especially when it's imposed, but when it becomes a recurring cycle, it just like, it has this feedback loop where it's like a replication crisis. You know what I mean? Like where I'm starting to make decisions based on a false reality that, and then I'm like making other decisions based on those decisions that were not even based in like an actual, just an experience. Like, so fear is a good example of this. Like I experience fear as real sometimes, even though the thing isn't, it's totally a fugazi. It's made up. And so that to me is like, to bring it back to what we were talking about, like that's the state, I guess, that I'm resistant to be in. That's where I don't want to be.
You don't want to be in that, in the fear state?
That's the anti-life. Well, fear's okay, because actually fear shows me where I need to go. But but no, that state of being out of alignment, like having an experience that's out of alignment with the truth of what is going on.
Yeah.
I just,
yeah.
And part of that is like remembering who I am and what this is, that I am like a spirit having like an experience of incarnation.
And remembering that you run off of your desires. And if you're not honest with yourself about what your desires are, you get fucked off your path and you start making decisions based off of a false reality, based off of false things, using a lot of energy to like push things away when like in flow, it's just like there's a truth about desire that happens in order to be in flow. And we always, there are different reasons why we choose to be like not honest about our desires. And we have perfectly good reasons to not be honest about our desires, but I do think that the path of flow is being very, very honest with ourselves and with others about our desires.
And this goes back into another thing that we were talking about before we hit record, which is being true. And at its core, it is like being true to those desires. But the way that we phrased it, or at least I phrased it when we were talking before, was like not breaking a commitment I've made and not like going against my own word, because that's like betraying the energy that that's betraying the energy that makes me attractive in the first place. So like, you know, if I broke my word to go hang out with someone, I'm betraying the very thing that they even wanted to be around me for. And that's like weakening my magic and really just ultimately like it's counterproductive to my own energetic goals.
Yeah. And I think they're like, it doesn't, I think it is also a disservice to honor a word that you no longer are in alignment with. Like for, you can use the example of hanging out with someone, like something comes up where it's like, you know what, actually, this is not the thing that I'm supposed to be doing today. I'm not supposed to be hanging out with you today. And there, I think, is a way to honor the relationship that you have with the person and to honor the word that you did put in place without breaking it while still being able to change direction. Because I think we do need to be able to change direction instead of being like, fuck, I said I was going to do this and now I have to do it. Like, we have to be able to change our minds.
Yeah, so I guess I'm coming at it from an angle where, like, the easiest way to do that is just to not make a promise that I can't keep.
Yeah.
To begin with. And now, that isn't always a viable solution. No, like, Yeah, and if I come at it in the middle, well, then I've made all these promises that I probably can't keep. But I can get more and more to the point where, like, dude, I just don't make a lot of promises.
Yeah, that's the trick. Be like, you can say, I don't know. It's like, this is something that is very interesting to me, and it's something that I'm feeling a pull towards. I cannot concretely tell you that this is how it's going to be in a few months or even tomorrow.
That's what I do.
Yeah. And just like, and being like, it is possible to be in relationship with people in that way, because I have friendships that are like this, where it's like, there's a reservation to change minds at any time, and no one has ever said, like, shamed for it or judged for it. It's not a bad thing. It's like, at the end of the day, the ethos of the friendship is like, you take care of yourself and you honor yourself and your desires. That's what I want out of all my relationships with my friends. And like, it'd be cool if all relationships were like that.
Yeah, it would. But then I guess it would be like, I let's look at it as practice, because it's
that's a fucking practice.
Yeah. And that's really how I have to contextualize it without like losing my fucking mind.
Yep. Because otherwise it's just like, I didn't do good. I didn't do perfect at that thing. It's like, of course you didn't. It's a fucking practice. The whole thing is a practice.
Yeah. So yeah, I hope we did that justice, because I feel like we were on some cooking with gas type shit before we hit record. And then like, we hit record and I just like, my brain went bloop.
Bloop.
Yeah. Okay. So I think I lost it, man.
I think, period.
Therefore, I am. Yeah. I was going somewhere. We were going somewhere. Oh, the war god stuff. I was going to pull the war god stuff back into that.
There you go. Hell yeah.
So, when you talk about desire. So when I'm, this is a continuation kind of a conversation that, well, it'll be out by the time this comes out. The episode I did with Lindsay Stark. And talking about, hey, Lindsay, we were talking about the context of like a modern context of a war god. And we already mentioned it in this conversation, but you know, to just give it further context, that's where that came from. And so, when I'm living, like, I think that when I'm living in my true desires, like when I'm really in that stream, that I can't really fail. So like a war god, and especially, okay, we'll look at like Odin and Freya. They are the gods of the victors, and they're also the gods of the slain. But you know, I think really both of them have both attributions. I know Odin has a big, you know, a lot of names about victory, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Check, check, check. I'm losing it again. Victory, Father, and all that. And so when I'm living in my desire, it so how can a God be a God of both the victor and the slain? Like that seems like a contradiction, right? Because it's like the slain is the loser, and the one that lives is the victor. Like in our concept, in our Western conception, modern conception, right? Like if you die, you lost, and if you lived, you won, right?
Yeah, but that's not the context
That
of
is
like,
not true.
no, not at
Like,
all. I'm like, I'm
right.
thinking about all of the people that are fucking stoked to go to Valhalla. They're like, I die, I win.
That was the
I'm in that
goal.
fucking hall.
That
Yeah,
was the goal,
exactly.
right? And so when how can I live? The question I ask myself, and this is an exercise that I try to practice, is how can I live my life so that whether I fail or succeed, I can't lose because I did the thing.
Yeah.
The glory is mine because I did it. And like, so if I fail, I still did it. If I succeed, great. We did it, you know? And I think that's where it is for me.
Yeah. And what's your, I guess there are these like outside interpretations of failure and success on what you're doing?
Oh, yeah, totally. There's that angle to it too, right?
Yeah.
Because I
Just
think
because
that
I'm thinking, like, if you're like, it can appear to be success or failure, but like, you have so many different things that you're going to be interacting with throughout the course of your life that you're not in control of everything, whether you win or lose. And so the way that you bump up against other people can create what looks like victory or loss. But if you're staying true to yourself, I think that that is the way that you don't like lose,
yeah.
fail. There needs to be a different word for that.
Yeah, well, it's not, yeah, right. It's again not a real real, I don't know. It's not a real binary. Like
Yeah.
the life and death thing.
Yeah. They're just places to be.
They're just places to be. And so I guess what I'm getting at is for me, the success is doing it. And doing 100% my best, and all the outcomes are like none of my business. And that even means magic. Now, that might contradict what some people think about magic, but this is like a line that I have to walk with, like another way that I kind of see life, which is like from the sort of 12-step angle, right? Which is like, this is kind of what I'm talking about. It's like I just do my best and the results are not my business. That's like a very 12-step thing. But how does that fit with magic? Well, it actually fits really well with magic because I am not getting bogged down with a lust for a result. I'm simply doing the magic that corresponds to my desire and letting the chips fall where they may. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's good to remember to kind of let go of stuff like that. 'Cause like time, I've been experiencing it recently as like kind of like time travel. Like I will time travel to a place in the future, and then in order to pull that future like towards myself, I live there in the moment now, and I start to like interact with everything around me as though I am already in that future state. But it's a disservice to the now to do something like that. And it puts unnecessary pressure, and it puts you into a false relationship with everything around you. And it's just like, it's not fucking cool. Don't do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that takes us back to what we were talking about before, right? Because it's not in alignment with what's really going on. Like, okay, a good example. If I have all kinds, like, I basically build a simulacrum of you in my head and use that to tell me things that I don't know who wants to tell me them about myself, but I apparently do because I do it, right? Like some spirit or something. Like I think it's probably a spirit that, and you know, was it you that was telling me about like narrative spirits?
Maybe.
Like this is a
Fuck.
spirit that wants to like construct a narrative.
Yes. Yes, yeah. I felt something like that attached to me in a place where it was like, listen to my story about how everyone hates you. And I'm like, that's not true. Stop trying to tell me that story.
Yes. That's good, right? So like I've been doing a lot of that kind of thing, and like once I can start to see my intrusive negative thinking as just that, like as spirits, oh shit, I can banish it.
Yeah, you're like, get the fuck out of here, dog. You can't be at this party.
Yeah, and I can like put on a god face and like tell them to fuck off. Like headless right what? Or like, there's a lot of good
Yeah.
PGM stuff for this.
It's like, do you know who I am?
Yeah, right. And that's another way of remembering, right? Because then I remember who I am. And so to continue with the example I was using, right? So like I will construct a Marissa in my head to tell me a narrative, or I will, or the spirit will, or whatever it is. I'll like actually form a pact with that spirit to do this when I allow it to do it.
Totally. Oof, oof.
Right?
Forming that pact is scary.
Dude, it's
It
really
all
scary.
totally
But
happens.
when I go down that fucking rabbit hole, I just took a spirit's hand and like, let's walk the path, baby.
Yeah, I'm
Like,
like,
I just
let's
did it.
go. You're in charge now.
You're in charge
Yeah.
now. Like you, I got goosebumps right now.
Ooh, yeah.
And
Man,
so
that's some
I do that
shit.
all the
Take a
time.
salt bath.
But what I can do is instead banish that spirit. Understand that that version of you that I've created in my head to tell myself this story is not you. And then when I
Yeah.
do that, I honor you because now, guess what? I can experience you for who you are for the first time, maybe ever.
And that's a like it's a it requires like so much communication and like and a lot of like I think cleansing practice too, like any kind of like
It's so important.
any kind of cleansing practice and like reorientation practice and just like so much letting go of things. Because I will find myself doing that where I construct like a cast of characters in my head of like the people that I'm closest to that like instead of reaching out to the person that I'm close to and having an actual conversation with them, I start to ask the characters in my head and the characters in my head give me the answer and the whole scenario plays out and then I start to operate from that place. And I'm like, dude, you haven't had any conversation with anyone. Like, what
Yeah.
is going on
Yeah.
here?
And I'm in a total illusion.
Yep.
I'm in a total illusion. And wow, that's a great way to put it.
So what do we do about that?
So what I do, and okay, first off, the cleansing is like so key because
So fucking
I
important.
used to
Like.
tr okay, I'm gonna be real with you. And this is like not a good look, but fuck it. I used to treat cleansing the same way I used to treat weighing your drugs as a drug user, where I was like, that shit is for pussies. Like, that was my actual thinking, right? Like, disregard all the problems with that, even that sentiment. That was just how I thought about it, right? Like, I'm a pro, I don't do that shit, right? Well, that will give you a lot of problems.
So many problems.
And it gave me a
That in
lot of
and of itself
problems.
is a fucking spirit feeding off of you.
Yeah, totally. And
Look at this prideful
oh yeah, totally. But
motherfucker.
also like I don't know what I'm putting in my body. Because and like people die that way. Like I could have killed myself. And so when I really became serious about doing drugs, I started weighing my drugs. And so
Good, harm reduction.
when I became serious about my magic, I started cleansing. And it's like, what experience do I want to have? Like, it's okay to be fucking driven by a thousand forms of fear and into a land of illusion. That's fine. Maybe
Great.
that's my karma, you know? But
Yeah.
like, I'm actually not interested in having that happen anymore. So, what can we do? I think the cleansing is so important, dude. And like, I do it. It's easy to take it too far, but I actually would say
Yeah.
it's better to err on the side of caution at first and dial it back.
Yeah. I do think we also have to stay in relationship with folks too. Like that's how we create our realities is together and in relationship with each other. So it can't just be, I'm gonna wash all this shit off of me and it's all gonna go away. You have to also have the conversations with the people around you and be like, yo, this thing is sticking to me. Can we talk this out? so that we can come back into relationship with each other and build a reality together instead of like me over here trying to just like construct my own fucking thing and
Oh, yeah, that's
it's not gonna
beautiful.
work.
No, that's good. That's really good. Yeah, it's giving. Okay, so that's where I think this next part comes in, because there's a thing that I think Jesus says it, where he's like, drive out one demon and seven more will come in.
It
So
feels
like,
that way.
yeah, so I'm basically, what I'm doing when I cleanse is I'm clearing out the space. Well, what I choose to do after I've done that is now I choose to invite who I'd like to invite to the party. Who am I going to align with now? And what am I going to call into myself? I'm going to call my highest good, my higher self, my good ancestors, my good destiny, you know, my spirit team, all that stuff. And, but I have to also do that. I can't just cleanse and hope like, okay, good, we're clean now.
Yeah, like, you got to fill yourself back up.
Because I'm about to walk into the fucking landfill again of life. Like, I'm about to walk into the sticky, gooey, dirty, fucking, you know, gritty essence of what this incarnation is. And, like,
yeah,
that stuff, that, yeah, it's good stuff, but it's all going to
get
kind of,
it.
It gets on me, dude. It's like driving around. It's like I get my car, I take my car to the mechanic and I get my alignment fixed and my car's good and aligned. But then I go out and I start hitting potholes. It's going to happen.
Yeah. It just happens. Also, like, sometimes the potholes are fun.
Yeah, totally.
You just got to know how to, like, recover from them.
Yeah, totally. Like, I mean, and yeah, right. So it's not all negative at all. And, like, a lot of the stuff that gets on me is like, ooh, that's a good goo. I want to keep that there. Like, I want to experience that forever. Can we just do that forever, please? And that can't, like, sadly can't happen either.
Delicious suffering. You can't do it.
Yeah. What I mean, but even like grasping for not suffering, right? Like, okay, I'm not suffering right now. I'm going to make that happen forever.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just not going to happen.
No, that's just not how it works.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, I got a call. For me, it's like calling in. I was explaining it in my conversation with Sharif. It's like, I am a spirit nightclub. And there are all kinds of spirits coming through and passing through and passing out. And the question is, like, what kind of clientele am I attracting? Like, if I, like, I'm trying to, I'm like, these days, I'm trying to have a well-functioning joint. You know, like, maybe before I wanted it to be like a place where you could walk in and like get your hand cut off by a lightsaber, but like,
hell yeah,
you know, like a Mos Eisley kind of feeling.
Yeah, hell
but
yeah.
Now it's like, I'm trying to get some motherfuckers in there that are like tipping good and like,
yeah,
you know what
dude.
I mean? Like, I want some hot chicks in there and like, you know what I mean?
Yep,
Like,
yep.
But like the experience I'm interested in having, it's an energetic thing where like I have to borrow also a phrase from the Matt Barbera episode, like I want to resonate at the same frequency of the experience that I'm trying to have.
Oh,
what was that?
Alarm started going off. It's Jupiter time.
Oh, hell yeah.
Where I am, it's Jupiter time.
Hail Jupe.
Hail Jupiter.
It's sun time here.
Sky Daddy.
That's good stuff. And I think, you know, we can work to the ancestors from that. Right?
You took the prayers first, Ben. What'd you think?
Okay, yeah. So those are available
on my website at
marissagambarudi.com.
There's a little tab that says prayers for the ancestors, and everybody is free to access them. Please say them, sing them, read them, masturbate.
Yeah, and so explain. Yeah. Explain the metaphysics of this. Because people are going to be like, what, masturbate with my ancestors? Like, what the fuck?
Okay, so the prayers are up there. They're They're intended to be the opening and closing prayers for mindful erotic practice, which is a fancy way of saying a masturbation practice, but it also leaves the door open for it to include other things like dancing or singing or stretching or sword fighting, like anything that makes your body feel good is what the prayers are meant to open and close. The intent of the ritual is to create this energetic sacrament with the sensations that your body experiences during your practice. And the energetic sacrament is gathered up by the well and the wise ancestors that you call in the opening to be distributed back through your lines to any of the ancestors that will most benefit from it, who found that they could not interact with the full sensations of their body and be in the full pleasures of experiencing the sensations that they wanted to because they were held down by shame. So you being in your joyful practice becomes the healing balm for those ancestors to be free of their shame. And it also frees you up of shame, and it radiates back through your ancestors and down through your descendants when you do this practice.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I did do it. I need to do it more, but I took it for a spin, and it was wonderful. Like, and that was a way. That was a place I'd never. I don't think I'd engaged with that aspect of the ancestors before. I don't think there's a lot of that going on, personally. I think you're really like, I'm really like excited about what you're doing because I think it's kind of on the cutting edge. Consequently, sword fighting is what I call masturbation, so that worked. yeah, and what's really cool about that and the experience was that, okay, so the ancestors are all in my body anyway. And so it's like a, it felt supercharged, direct link. Like there wasn't, like it doesn't require like a, like a lot of the time things and things just for me to make the connection, they require like a ritual, right? Now, of course, you could ritualize this all you want, and that would be fucking dope.
Yeah, you can build it up or build it down however you want.
Yeah, but like it was very deceptively powerful. Like I was like, okay, I'm just gonna say this prayer and I'm gonna do my thing and then I'm gonna say the closing prayer. And it I could feel in the way that you feel in ancestral healing, like when it echoes back, it's kind of felt the same way as giving merit.
That's how that is how I came to understand that energetic sacrament is. It does feel a lot like merit to me.
Nice. That's interesting because energetic sacrament also makes me think of offering the precious blood. Have you ever done it? Like
I
you
think
basically,
so. Yeah,
yeah,
I have
like
done that.
offering the precious blood of Christ to God as like a anyway. But then also that night I had a really very vivid sexual dream. And it was like, I love it when magic bleeds into my dream life because I think it's like, oh, cool. Like I'm doing the work in the astral too. And so like, I don't even know what the fuck it means, but like, I don't even get caught up in that because I really don't have to. It's like in the same way that like, oh, you did a ritual. How did it feel? Like, I don't know. It felt cool. It's cool to do rituals. Like, but the cool thing about the ritual is I did it. Is the thing like and I don't have to even understand it, but the way it plays out in my life is where it counts for me, that is like, and that's how I see it more often is through synchronicities, through dreams, through these powerful experiences that happen as a result, and then things that I'm able to do that I wasn't able to do before, like you were talking about, like you know, not just cleansing but now taking that energy and relating to the people in my life in a way that is more constructive and communicative.
Are you gonna share about your dream?
I don't really know. I mean, it was just a sexual dream where I was having sex with two friends that I don't even think really like. So in the dream, I'm pretty sure they were just like, that was just a good face for them to take. You know what I mean? Like whoever that was.
I think that spirits like to ride the bodies of some of the people that we come into relationship with, like especially people that we find attractive. Like there's a I have a particular friend that keeps showing up in my dreams that my spirits are like, hell yeah, look at this. This is a great body.
Right, exactly. And it was just a really vivid sexual experience. Like it was just like I was have it was real. Like, and I woke up like, oh shit, that's got to be connected. So there's not really like many much detail to the dream. I would tell it if there
I
was.
think that the sex in and of itself is the magic, and I think that that's a lot of what kept coming through for me as I was writing these prayers and thinking with like what this thing wanted to be and trying to listen to what they were trying to tell me is anytime I like tuned into my ancestors, I was like, give me guidance. Like, what am I supposed to be doing? They're like, bro, remember to be joyful and remember to fuck. Like, they're just like trying to remind me of all of the good things in life. And that's the reason I have come to understand that the ritual hits the way that it does, even though it's just two prayers, is because of the spirits that brought it. They are so incredibly powerful and incredibly wonderful at holding space for this type of thing. And I just wrote words down, and I'm incredibly honored to have wrote the words, written the words down, and to get to share it with people because it's really cool to watch it land for folks.
And I think it comes at an interesting time for me too, because I'm like, stubbornly, like maybe I've just been stubborn my whole life, but I'm coming around to the fact that like it's all just cosmic fucking, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted it to be deeper than that or something, but like what's deeper than that? What's deeper
It's
than what is deeper than that?
pretty fucking
This is another good example of like my limiting expectations not being as cool as like what the reality is, right? Like, and so I'm just selling myself short. I want to talk about shame.
Yeah, totally.
Because this is like something that we talked about around this idea of shame being another one of those flip sides, or is it a flip side of the coin from pleasure? I don't know. What's your experience there?
I don't know if it's the flip side of pleasure. I do think that there's an interesting relationship between shame and pleasure. There's obviously a relationship there, and sometimes it can be like an
Because I
inhibitor
wouldn't
to
be
pleasure.
ashamed of it if I didn't feel pleasure from it, right?
It's incredibly informative. I'm remembering correctly, one of the lines of the prayers is calling on the ancestors who practiced walking through shame as a doorway to reveal to yourself what your true desires are. And there's a little bit of this that comes up in like kink spaces where folks will play with shame specifically and like shaming specifically. And I do think that it's my preferred practice with shame is walking through a doorway to find out what is behind there so that I can come into joyful relationship with what is behind that door instead of feeling that I have to keep it closed behind a door. But there's a practice that you can have of purposefully keeping it behind the door to kind of like eroticize shame in a way, but it's a different practice.
I think because it to me there's an interesting through line to like what we were talking about before, where it's like fear actually, like the fear lies in the path of what I want to do. And so it's a really useful thing to look at for me, because if I'm afraid of it, that's my path. Because if I didn't want to do it, I wouldn't care enough to be afraid. And the fear is just around the fact, like, I won't do it. Like, I won't get to do it. And I think shame is an interesting thing too, because it It seems to me like it does. It acts the same way
Yeah,
for pleasure.
shame seems to be the thing that stops you from doing what you're afraid of. Like, I think the fear is kind of like, oh, look at that, it's a thing, and the shame is like, don't do that. And which is, it's a shame serves a purpose in like keeping us from doing things that we don't want to do. But if it's keeping us from doing things that we do want to do, then we are out of right relationship with shame. But like, shame exists like in social contexts so we don't hurt each other, because we don't want to hurt each other. But
Yeah.
that's the thing you don't want to do, versus not doing a thing that you do want to do doesn't feel good.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting 'cause there's a oh shit, it's something I just got told yesterday. When I was in the graveyard talking to Hecate. And she said, "You can't see the path because you're the one holding the torch." Which is just full of Hecate-ness too. But like,
Yeah, what does that mean to you?
it means that I'm okay. Let me try to explain it for what it means for me. It means I can't see my path because I'm blazing the path. Like I'm making the path. Because I ask her to guide my path with her torch. And so this is the answer to that is like you're holding the torch. I can't show you the path because you have to actually walk it yourself.
Interesting.
Like you have to walk the path that's disappeared before you almost. Like
Yeah, has she shown you where she's standing relative to you? If she's not standing in front of you, then
But she, the thing is, she is.
she is? Okay.
Yeah.
She's just like, I'm not gonna show you
She's
what
in
it
the
looks
darkness.
like.
Yeah, basically, I mean, kind of. And I'm fucking begging
She's
to
like,
know what
that's
it
not
looks
how
like.
this works.
That's not how this works. This is not what we're doing here. Like, this is you're like learning your own power, right?
Yeah.
And it's
It is
like,
interesting to
Mama
think
can't
of
do it
her
for
being in
me,
front of you
dude.
as the darkness. Yeah.
Mama
She's
can't
like,
do
I'm
it
right
for
here.
me. She's here for me. She supports me. It'll be all right.
Cool.
But I
Yeah,
have to
good, right?
actually like trust it. And it's hard.
Well, you could see the trust as like the smallest act of just putting another foot in front of the other foot. Like, taking a step is an act of trust.
Yeah.
But there's not like just like an abyss underneath
Okay.
you.
Have you ever like what's like walk? It really is like walking in a completely dark room. I can just take a little baby step and just hope to fuck that I don't sneeze.
Yeah.
Because one time I sneezed, the light went out, the power went out, and I sneezed in my room, and I had a bedpost that was about the height of my shoulders, and I sneezed, and my head came down and beamed it right in the middle of it. And I was like traumatized for like a
No,
long
you
time.
can't sneeze. I can never sneeze in the dark ever again.
Now I block my sneezes and I'm probably gonna like pop an eye or something. That's
Don't
not
tempt someone with a good time. Pop their eye
gonna
out.
Right. Yeah, and I think this goes well with the ancestor stuff too, because like what the ancestors are helping me do is reconcile, like you were talking about with these prayers, the ones who weren't able to experience that. And so if say there was an ancestor that's unwell because their relationship to shame was such that they were never in their pleasure, that can lead to an incredible that's how you get a ghost.
Yeah, especially if you get over to the other side and you're like, "Hold the fuck up.
Wait, this was
None
all
of that
about
shit they
that?
said was gonna none of that shit that they said was gonna happen if I did all of that fucking happened. I'm pissed. I
Yeah,
want my fucking money
totally. And
back." Or they're like, I need a retry. So they're trying to hop into bodies, fucking get what
that's
they came down here to fucking get in the first place, and they just forgot about.
That's what I'm saying. And that's the part that I'm, that's most pertinent to my experience, right? Is if I've got unwell ancestors that didn't get to do some shit jumping into my body, I might be going buck wild. You know what I mean?
Exactly, dude. It's like, this is a
Yeah.
great idea. I'm like, who is saying that this is a good idea right now?
Fucking do it. Fucking do
Do
it.
it.
Burn that shit down, baby. You know, and like that's a very real way that the ancestor dynamic works. And I have
And
no
you might be getting people that aren't even necessarily like immediate fam, but like, and then I say that, but my like even my understanding of ancestors is like they're all fucking, we're all ancestors. But like, if you want to make the distinction, the way that we make distinctions between like family and strangers when we're like in human pods, in bodies. I don't know why I sound like an alien right now talking about
Yeah, I
Earth,
like it.
but
Dolphins.
like. You could even just have like a ghost walking down the street try to jump into your fucking body, or like the ghost of a
Yeah.
bar, or like all everyone every all of them everywhere could be
Well,
like,
that's.
what if you did this?
Yeah, totally. What if you fucking did meth right now? Dude, that'd be
Yeah,
awesome. Do it.
and you're
And
like,
like.
that voice said yes, and so you have to like figure out like which you have to find yourself inside of yourself. And that Diana Paxson says that in her Possession, depossession, and repossession, I think. There's a lot of possessions in the title of the book,
I love Diana
but
Paxson.
she's great. And the first part of that entire book is self-possession. So like knowing who you are, so that if a voice like that pops up, you go, that wasn't fucking me. That's not my idea. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And that's difficult. And I think, you know, we have not done ourselves a lot of favors with the way that, and you know, I use the royal we because obviously, like, it's not like literally you and me that did this, but I identify with the people that did in order that I might understand it and integrate it, right? But like we've built a way of seeing the world where none of that is real. And it's like, that's just a terrible recipe for navigating it. Like,
Navigating the reality of being surrounded by hungry ghosts. Yeah, it's pretty
yeah.
terrible when you're like, that's not real.
There's no, yeah, that's just you. That's just a fucking, that's just you, dog. Take this pill.
That's not so many people.
Right, it's so many people. It's so and it's one of those things that's it's really nice because it actually works even if you don't want to go full spirit with it, it works on a metaphorical level too. Like it just is true. Like a go that's a ghost. It's a holdover. And so to bring it back with what we were kind of saying, like the idea for anyone that's kind of new to this stuff of ancestor healing is like is what you talked about, where there's that part of it, but there is like 100% an action involved. And that action is like breaking that cycle or experiencing that pleasure in a hell in a way that's healthy for me or whatever that looks like, right?
In like a sustainable way.
In a sustainable way, in a way that doesn't hurt anybody. For like general ancestral healing, it might be like, you know, being kinder when I want to be angry or being like, or even practicing discipline. I see this way too, right? Like caring for myself enough to put in some work that I don't necessarily want to do, but I know will be beneficial to me and therefore beneficial to all. Like working out. When I would rather not do that. Like, yes, I would rather fucking eat ice cream. You know what I mean? Of course. Like and then it's like I do that and then I look at over at the ancestors and I say, did y'all see that? Can you let the unwell ancestors see that? And then they see it and they go, oh, that's how you do that. And then boom, they become elevated. And maybe it's not always like a quick procedure like that, but I think a lot of the time you can knock out a lot. with just
Yeah, definitely.
some simple actions.
There's a lot that happens when you just start praying for your ancestors. Like a lot of stuff just starts to shift around in like crazy, crazy ways, where it's just like, oh, I don't think that anymore. Like that's just not how I'm operating. It's very cool magic.
Yeah, it is very cool magic. And it's beautiful too, right? Because it's becoming being able to be in the stream of people that are walking the like we're just walking down the line, you know? Like I get to
Yeah.
just kind of join it.
Yeah, that's kind of why I named that's why, kind of why I went with inheriting ecstasy for my website and my practice and that whole thing, because it's a process of remembering and us inheriting the ecstasy from our ancestors and the blessings and all of the ways of being that we have forgotten or know or are looking away from. And then through us inheriting them, then people who come after us get to inherit it. And it doesn't even matter if you have children or not, anybody that you interact with in the world, just by virtue of you being in relationship with the gifts and blessings of your ancestors, you're able to pass them on to every single person you come into relationship with. And it's just this 500-year plan for a better world.
Hell yeah. Yeah, it's just well like just okay, in the same way that a ghost kind of walking down the street can jump into me, doesn't have to be related to me. Well, that's an ancestor of place because they're there, right? Or it's an ancestor of lineage because I'm at the function or what, you know what I mean? Like whatever it is.
Yeah, you really
And
can't start, you can't write off anybody by for you can't write off anybody under the guise of like specific relationship when you start coming into relationship with ghosts in this way. Like every person
yeah.
you pass on the street is a fucking ancestor.
Right. Well, and that and in that way, it's cool because the positive effects, like just like I can experience the negatives of a spirit that way, I can contribute to the positive effects in that same way. So now in 100 years from now, when someone walks by this place where I did this, maybe they'd get jumped into by a like by an emotion of gratitude or like a feeling of remembering who they are or like a profound like awe or love of beauty of the place, you know? And I think over time, like that's how a place becomes sacred.
Yeah, totally. Just like pausing and noticing. That's cool. That's a really beautiful thing to think about. It's just like thousands of years of people pausing and noticing at a space for it to become sacred.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's good stuff. So you want to talk about somatic sex education?
Sure. Do you want to know something specific, or do you want me
I mean, go on your
to
spiel, because I think, you know, I think a
go
lot of people that listen will know, but I think a lot of people won't.
on my Yeah. If anybody that is listening has followed my Substack for a little bit, I've talked about what somatic sex education is over there a little bit. I have a write-up also on my website of like what somatic sex education is, just because most of the time, that's the response that I get from people. They're like, "What the fuck is that?" They're like, "Sex? I know what sex is. Education? I know what that is. What the fuck is somatics?" And
I admit that I might not know what the meaning of the word somatics is. Like,
okay.
as much as I've read about it and I hear it, help me grok it.
Yeah. So somatics is the word for describing the experiences that your body has, the sensations and like noticing the sensations of your body. That includes senses like taste, touch, smell, sight. Those are somatic sensations, as well as like your experience of temperature, how something like feels like hot or cold against you, your sensation of pressure against your skin, and then also your sensation of proprioception and interoception. And proprioception is your sense of your posture, how you're holding your body in space, and interoception is the sense of what is happening internally in your body. So, like your guts digesting something, or your heart beating, or the way that you can kind of feel the air expanding your lungs. So, somatics is a practice of noticing those sensations and gathering information from them.
Okay, interesting. So that's actually my primary mode. Well, not primary, but one of the primary ones, modes of spirit apprehension is
It is.
somatic.
I think that it is a, for magically inclined folks, it is how we do spirit communication, because it also includes like images that you get, or like smells that you get, like any way that
Oh,
you might
okay, so it's
experience
totally
a
that.
spirit in a space is like, it's spirit communication.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. So my other main one is like images popping in the head and inner mind's eye stuff. So that's also somatics because that is my body, right? Like that's
Like
happening in my
I,
body.
when I am doing like, when I'm working with my own somatic therapist, like feeling into a space in my body, I might have a sensation of an opening, and then also an image pops up in my head, and both of those are somatic sensations.
And you think are they usually tied together?
They can be. A lot of it is, I think some it comes. What we do with the information, I think, is really important in the way that what we do with the information that we get from like a process of divination. So the story that we tell ourselves about the sensations that are coming up is just as important as the sensations themselves. What I have found to be very fruitful for somatics is to go back to the sensation, just keep coming back to the sensation, and really notice if you're trying to attach story to it, and like kind of set the story aside, push the story away, and stay in the sensation of it, because that's where you get a lot of the juice of learning your body, is like being able to stay with the sensation instead of going off into story.
Oh, into the narrative world.
Yeah, because you can kind of follow the sensations through your body. They'll evolve into something else without you placing story on them, but just like listening. So you can notice something like in your shoulder might move all the way down to your toe, and then feel like it kind of releases from your body, and you're like, oh, all right, something just moved through me.
Yeah, totally. Okay, cool. And then it's interesting because like a lot of the times in like a ritual space, it'll be like multiple things at once. Like I'll get a tingle and then I'll hear a sound, or maybe I'll see something out of the corner of my eye, and then something will like fall over, like physically, or like a leaf will fall on something, right? And what's cool about that is when you talk about divination, if in that space I start flipping cards or doing or rolling dice like you do with geomancy, all of a sudden I'm kind of like I'm bringing the divination practice into that stream where like everything that happens here is, I almost want to say it's like not even co Not even co-present, but like it's all the same thing.
Yeah, it's all part of a conversation.
Yeah.
And I think there's fruit to noticing patterns with somatic sensations. And that's why I think it's important to not immediately go into story, because if you notice the pattern, it'll kind of present itself to you. The meaning of it will present itself to you. And when you're doing spirit communication, it might be like, this is the way that a particular spirit shows up to communicate with you or give you a sign. And when you're doing somatic sex education, what it tells you is like, this is a way that your body experiences pleasure. This is a space that you can come back to in order to resource pleasure from your body.
And so what would going to narrative look like in that context of somatic sex education? Like when I feel a pleasurable feeling, I might connect, like what does it look like to go into narrative there?
So something that can happen during somatic sex education is that you might find like memories stored in your body, and staying with the sensation allows the memory to reveal itself to you how it's ready to be revealed, instead of you creating a story about maybe something that happened with your body or to your body. And they can be like big things, like big memories can be stored in your body. And so it's important to not put something into yourself that isn't already there. that makes sense.
No, that makes really good sense. It's important not to, you said it's important not to put something into yourself that isn't already there. Dude. That's like a nut. Pun not intended, but pun accepted. That's like a nut to crack, like to really get into, because it goes to, I think, something that we've talked about before. An experience I had on the road. I don't know if I've shared it yet, so I'll share it now. Where I had this feeling of like longing, and it was like specifically, I was very lonely at the time, and I was driving, and I was in that driving hypnosis place, and I was pining for some lovers from my past, and I was like, you know, what the fuck did I do? Like, I'm here alone, like, you know, that kind of thinking. It wasn't totally negative, but it was reaching out. There was something in me reaching out for something to grab to like fill that place. But I had this experience, and what I can only describe as a gnosis, all of a sudden fill me that entire experience and my experience of longing and my experience of like love for them and that experience of desire and attraction that it was all happening within me. And it was all the origin point was within. It wasn't something external. I was just, so it's maybe this is well, how I'm ex understanding the narrativizing is like I was trying to say that that feeling or that experience is from these other people. But really, it's the opposite, where it's like that experience reaches out from me to them, and I can experience that whether they're there or not. And so, like, that ache is the presence of that love. There is no separation in that moment. And like, I can like just experience that without having to like narrativize. That's really great. It's like what it told me was like you carry the great romance within you wherever you go. Like
And
all the pieces are inside you.
And that's one of the goals of a like an arc of somatic sex education sessions too, is to remind folks that their source of pleasure comes from inside of their bodies. It's not something that you have to like reach for or grasp for, or like get from other people. Like when we do one-way touch sessions with the practitioner touching a client, it's a constant reminder. It's like you are the reason that you are feeling this way. It has nothing to do with me as a practitioner. It has nothing to do with the space that you are in. All of your experiences are happening in your body, and you get to take all of those experiences with you when you leave this space.
Wonderful. That's really cool. I think I just understood it. So thank you for helping me to see that. Yeah, and the magic of that is really interesting too, because like that's in your field now. So it's like a damn, it's like soul retrieval. Right? It's like a shamanic experience, it sounds like.
I think that it can be. I am doing my best to not like put
But
too much onto it, just
yeah.
because like I'm not a trained shamanic practitioner.
Well, I mean, like, but yeah, come on, man. Like, who fucking is? Like, like, I wasn't initiated in any order, but I'll tell you what, I'm initiated.
Yeah,
It just
totally.
happened fucking by life. You know what I mean? Like, and like, granted, you know, like, yeah, there is value to like, you know, a lineage structure, obviously. But I know. Yeah, I think that's probably smart. And, but that's the cool thing about it, right? Is that it's about the person who's undergoing it. It's about their experience. So even if they experience it from a totally just materialist perspective, they're going to get something out of it,
Exactly.
as
Yeah,
opposed to, you know,
it can
go
be
ahead.
as deep, it can be as weird or as not weird as anybody wants it to be. Like I've had sessions with people where they are like having visions of ancestors that they are meeting actively as we're doing a massage. And I have had sessions with people where like their body feels good afterwards and they have received a massage and their shoulder doesn't hurt anymore.
And you know
Or
what's
like
cool?
they got the touch that they wanted to receive. I'm like, that's great. Both of those are so good. And they're both so healing for the ancestors because like person coming into relationship with their ancestors has like huge like relationships that they can go on to continue to build. And the person who is receiving the touch that they want to receive, all of their ancestors who never received touch that they wanted to receive in their lifetime can now have that experience in the body of their descendant. And like it closes loops. It just
Oh, yeah.
happens.
I love that idea of closing loops. Do you like to close dream loops?
I don't know if I've, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a very good dreamer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you next time you have a dream where something happens, doesn't matter what it is, if it's possible to do it, try to do it that day.
Totally.
And call me in the morning. Tell I'd
Okay.
like to hear about your experience because I don't know what it does, but I know it does something. And really what it might do is like it might be some retrocausal psychic exercise where like I actually made it happen, therefore I am psychic because I predicted it happening. Now the fact that I made it happen because I knew it was going to happen doesn't change the fact. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It's just like, woo, galaxy brain. All right, back to the
No, it's like a
rest
fucking robofish. It's like a robofish sigil, but for just like a real, like a.
the day. Yeah, it feels like a nice way to honor the spirit of your dream, too.
Yeah, definitely. And
You're
so
like, I
I
see
try to do
you.
it.
Please keep coming back. I would love to have more of these. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Hell yeah. What else is on our list? I think it's funny that you have the list. Like, how did
I
that
have the
happen?
list. I am the keeper of the list. I have Freya Magic and Hecate both written down.
Oh yeah, I want to talk about Hecate, and I think that'll kind of get mixed in because it's we'll be on that goddess shit, man.
Yeah, I feel like I was having interactions with people that were having interactions with Hecate, and that was one of the ways that she was like, hey.
I know all your friends.
And I'm like, oh, what? And she's like, just here around if you want to say hi. I'm like, hi.
She's great. One of her epithets is most manifest one, Epiphanestate.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Most manifest.
The most epiphanous one. Like the yeah, the most manifest one. I mean, I love the Greek because it's got the word epiphany, right? But like her epiphanies be happening. And honestly, the only spirit, and you know, this may just be a personal thing, but I can, the only spirit to me that I have this level of that experience with would be Odin. Where it's like you don't even say the name because when you say it, something will happen.
Yeah,
Right?
no.
And that's cool. I
I
just
try to
like to
avoid saying the
invite
same
like getting
thing.
my eye poked out. You know what I mean? Like it'll probably fucking happen. Like I have had a lot of eye problems. But just little stuff. You know? Just be like, "Hey yo, I'm here. Hey
You said
buddy."
that, and there was a horn honked outside of my window. I've had a
Oh.
lot of eye problems. Boop.
Well, that's interesting because did I ever tell you that when I did Diana Paxson's rune blooding ceremony from taking up the runes, when you in the part where you call on Odin, I was in the city at a buddy's house, like house sitting, and I was like, okay, I'll house sit for you, and I'll also haunt your house, which is like, I don't know if that's ethical, but whatever, I did it. When I called on Odin, all the cars outside started honking.
God.
Yeah. And so Hecate is very similar, where like it's like I don't have to do a lot of stretching or mental posturing in order to justify that she showed up.
Yeah.
She shows up.
She's like, sup.
Yeah, she comes when called. And wow, so amazing. Like, thank you. Thank you for coming when I call. And I want to know, what other spirits do you have that experience with?
The Virgin Mary.
I was going to say, it's a mother stuff.
I think ancestors show up pretty readily like that for me as well. Yeah, I think I most of the time it's the spirits that reach out to me that show up in that way. I'm like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm right here.
Right.
Like
And
I had stuff like that with Babylon when I first met her. Like driving down the street, redhead walks by. I'm like, woo, walk into a bar, redhead bartender. I'm like, okay, she's here. Hi. Or like people randomly, like out of nowhere, saying Babylon, like in conversation at a bar. I was like, what? How did we start talking about this? We've not talking about this before. I didn't even bring it up. It was someone else that was in the conversation that just started going off about the city of Babylon. I'm like, all right, we're good. It's fine. The synchronicity storms are.
I love it when that stuff happens. That's why I live for that stuff.
I think angels sometimes do that too.
Yeah, I haven't had, I haven't had that experience
With
with them.
angels?
No.
My big one was with Raphael when I did the Raphael working that me and Jesse did. Raphael's tears. And I showed up to the graveyard and I like finished the Raphael prayer and it started raining.
Oh,
I was
that's
like
great. That's
literally
awesome.
being cried on right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. I don't know. But saints have been like that. Though like right now I'm not really in that territory at all. You know? Who knows when it'll be back around.
What else did you want to say about Hakate? I got lost in my spirits.
No, I don't think we got lost. I wanted to know. I
Yeah.
asked you, I wanted to know. So you just kind of were around a lot of Hecate people, but do you seem to like be have noticed that she's like definitely moving?
Yeah, it seems that's what it feels like. Sometimes I feel like spirits will kind of like sneak around like my periphery, and I'm like, oh, not yet, no, not yet, no. And then there's eventually they're just like, we're already doing something, so like you can either turn around and face us, or just like keep pretending like we're not already in relationship with each other. I'm like, oh, okay, fuck, I guess this is time for this.
And I do wonder too if there's like some there's a lineage aspect to it too, or like the people that you're fucking with are fucking with this spirit, so it's like I am too, just by sometimes by association. Dude, I think there's a really interesting Babylon Hecate thread that I haven't pulled, but I've seen some very interesting like linkage.
Yeah, but I think they hang out at the same bar, you know,
I
or
love
the same
that.
coffee shop.
Definitely. And I think that's, we were talking about those mother spirits too. And especially like the witch mother. I don't, so, oh, here's another thing that we've been talking about a lot. I was pretty much going half cocked because I wasn't really engaging with the goddess. I kind of was, but I hadn't really found the fit. like the one that, you know what I mean? And so like I was dealing with a lot of like very masculine energies. And like I think that was probably good for me at the time because I kind of, maybe that's just what I needed to develop at that time. You know what I mean? Like I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
No.
But once I started engaging with Hecate, and this was actually something that like, I don't understand how this works, but like this was from Freya. And you helped me there too. So like Freya through you, but then who it actually ended up being was Hecate.
Yeah. I think the goddesses pass people off to each other all the time.
Yeah. Okay, good. That's what.
Yeah.
Cool.
I they're just like, hold on, he's yours. That's your son. Go get him.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, okay, it's cool because it's like a social network. It really is like, like
yeah, 100%.
Odin's like, hey, you need to go hang out with this person. And then they're like, hey, you need to go hang out with this person. Like, you know, I think one of the best like ways to grok this, I think, was Sharif. Like, it's like becoming connected in the mob. And it's like whenever you watch these documentaries about guys talk about how they became connected, they're like, you know, I was hanging out with Tony a lot, but Tony, he hangs out with Sal. So then after a while, I was hanging out with Sal. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
I'm like, that is good. That's actually a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
And that really is it. Like, it's a relational thing. And so anyway, so I was like going half cocked because I wasn't basically the way I feel now, and this is not a judgment against anyone that's doing this, but this is just my experience. I basically feel like I wasn't even doing magic to my fullest potential, at least. And I'm going to phrase it as, I feel like I wasn't even doing magic until I was engaging with the goddess. And that can come back to it all being like cosmic fucking, like, well, I need, there's something missing in my dance, right? Like, it's okay to dance alone.
Yeah.
It's fun to dance with a partner, though.
It is. Yep.
I mean, it's fun to dance alone too, but you know.
Both. You have to be able to dance by yourself in order to dance with a partner.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's really okay. Perfect. So yeah, like, hang out with me, and then once we're ready, we'll pass you off to the dance partner. Perfect. Really good. So it was like a level up for me. And it's been awesome. It's been something that I really was looking for and kind of like shopping around, you know? Like I knocked
dating.
On the...
Dating around.
Dating, yes. Like I knocked on the door of Isis a long time ago, and I didn't really... I didn't feel it there. I didn't get, you know, and well, okay, like when I got sober, like when I really got down on my knees, like the person I prayed to was Sophia. Was Sophia save me? And then the first spirit, really the first spirit that I tried to get in relation to was Lilith. So there's a lot of, you know, yeah, dating. I like
yeah.
it. What's your experience there? Like, do you, so, yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
What, my experience with dating goddesses?
Yeah.
I have felt passed around by a few people, not really like, they all kind of seem, not all kind of seem just, I don't get a lot of people coming in like out of left field. Like that makes sense. Like I get a lot of like sex goddesses and like war goddesses and on brand. But I mean, the first goddess that presented herself to me was the Blessed Virgin Mary. But she presented herself to me kind of in her like Babylon form, very much like undressing, taking off her veil, wild curly hair popping out and like undressing in front of me. And I'm like, hold on, hold on. Like in one vision, changing everything that I had thought about like Catholicism and coming into relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I was like, all right, so all of that is bullshit. Now we just gotta find like other things that line up with this, because there's so much of Catholicism that does not line up with her in that image, but she's always in there.
Yeah, I like to call the Blessed Virgin Mary the MILF.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, she is though. That is the archetype, dude. You can't tell me otherwise.
No, there's a yep, big time. Hell yeah. Yeah, so, and then from her, Babylon showed up, and I don't think Babylon is going anywhere, but she's like, she's a whore goddess, so she doesn't get jealous. And like anytime like projecting any kind of jealousy onto Babylon is just, it's laughable. She's like, there's literally no fucking way, dude. Like, that's not how I work. And I think that Freya, Hecate, and Isis are the only other ones that I've got like deep into. And Isis and all of her, she has a bunch of different like epithets too. Like she had like a lot of people kind of like moved in to Isis over the course of history. So like Hathor showed up one night from a dream. I was like waking up from a dream and it was just like Isis but cows. And I'm like, what? And like brought it to my friends, and DB was actually the one that was like, you mean Hathor? I'm like, oh yeah, totally. I guess it's Hathor.
Yeah, I mean Hecate too, because she's the like the bull roarer, the Boukalos.
Doesn't
She's definitely got a cow thing going on.
Oh no. Freya's got boars, right? Freya has a
Yeah,
boar.
and cats.
Yes.
Yeah, the cow horns for the moon are what comes to mind. Like all
That's
the
like
moon.
Guadalupe, too.
Oh yeah, for sure. All the moon ladies. Yeah, Hecate is interesting like that too, because there's a lot of moving in and out, and like she's a Titan, so like she's from another iteration of the world, basically. That was a skillful mute.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I called you out. You know, and so it's like, I don't know how much of it is that. Like, how, like, did you play these roles in other, like, kalpas? Or is it like kind of a microcosm mirroring the macrocosm thing too, right? Like,
Oh, like trying to figure out, are you stuck in the like, is it all the one goddess just showing up in her many different faces, or is it all like distinct? I think they have to all be distinct and like treated as distinct beings. Otherwise, they wouldn't show up with different names.
Yeah, but they're all like, okay, so like PGM is a good example. And like, I guess it would be interesting to hear what your take on this is, because this is something that we've talked about in the last couple episodes. So like when you do like a lot of the PGM spells have like, you'll name like every solar god from every different pantheon. And like some of them are really interesting, because it'll be like Typhon Set will be like thrown in there. And you're like, solar? And then you kind of get to like, kind of, there's a mystery in the association. And I get to apprehend a mystery there, and I get to kind of like play with that, like
Yeah, totally. That
unravel it.
seems like what that brings to mind for me is the way that so many different geomancers throughout history have their own associations with each of the figures, with each of the like 12 zodiacal signs of the planets. And like everybody's got opinions, everybody's got takes, everybody's got different experiences with the figures. And it's just kind of like, I don't know, man, what's yours? And then you could argue with each other about it.
Well, in my, where I settle on it is it's like there are as many Odins as there are people who relate to Odin.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, that's how it kind of works. Too. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and you can kind of see like a common like through line when you talk to someone about someone else, but like how someone is, especially if you talk to people that have like intimate one-on-one relationships with other people, like the way that people show up in private spaces and like public spaces and just like different spaces, like we're all just different people. Maybe not everyone is. Maybe that's just my Gemini.
I don't know.
Talking,
I was gonna say
like...
this might just be us. This may just be us as Geminis because we're both.
People are like, no, I'm the same. Like everywhere I go, I'm like, oh, I can't relate.
I'm like, what the fuck is that like? There are at least five of me here right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so. That's interesting too about the ones that found you or the ones that come most readily when you call. Like,
yeah,
that's been my experience too, and it's never been the ones I expected. Like, I didn't expect Hecate at all.
Mm-hmm.
I even said to myself on many occasions, like, that's just not like a path I'm going.
It's just not me.
And then all of a sudden she shows up and she's like, hey, how you doing?
How you doing? You're like, you know? Oh, hey, you look real cute in this lighting. I don't think I've ever seen you before now.
Right? Right? It's like, damn. Oh, that's you. Oh.
Oh.
That's really wonderful. And honestly, like, yeah, I don't know if that's an across the board experience either, but that's definitely my experience too.
Yeah.
And like, I was playing a lot of spirit Pokemon for a long time.
Yeah, I feel,
you know, gotta
I
catch
feel
them
that.
All.
Yeah.
And I'm like at a nice place now where I'm like settled with like mom and dad.
Yeah.
The dead. And, you know, some other homies.
Like, that's plenty.
Yeah, it really is a lot. And, like, it's so funny, too, because I did a lot of walkabout until I realized that, like, oh, wait, so you're telling me, like, the first major spirit contact I had is, like, enough?
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like, add some stuff. Like, obviously add a couple things because a couple things have been added. But, like.
Yeah. And I think it's good to have like friends.
Yeah.
Because especially if you're, I think like being in relationship with a whole class of spirits like the dead, I think it's good to have a bunch of different friends in that realm. Because if you're going to be going into different spaces, like the dead, there's not just like one person for the dead. Like there are
Right.
individual people that you're going to be coming into relationship with that will like know different. So I think if necromancy is the main practice, then it makes sense to have a lot of friends and a lot of different pantheons and places and speak different languages because you're going to meet so many different kinds of people.
Yeah, totally. And that's been my experience. Like that. So it's interesting because it coincides with like basically all my alt. Like, so for a while I was trying to do the Thai style thing where you have like levels and you have like celestial, you have like Buddhas, then gods, then like maybe like celestial spirits, then like this, and then dead slash demons, and they have to be on different levels. Well, that's totally collapsed for me because like basically every altar I have is somehow about death. Like there's some, and there's some death material on all of them, right? So like the main altar is Odin and Hecate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, you can put Pry on here. Like, why would we not want that?
Yeah, they're like, we hang out with ghosts.
They're literally like, put graveyard dirt on it. Put graveyard dirt on this. What are you doing?
Frankle it.
And that and that fits my that just kind of fits my aesthetic anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like low-key goth. And I just like worship the dead. Like, really, is really what it comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah, humans. Humans be humaned.
Yeah, and it's like the ones who went before me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think that's at the heart of it all for me. Do you have anything else that you want to mention?
No, nothing's popping up.
I think we hit it all.
Yeah, we did it. We hit everything that's on the list.
Sweet. We made a list. Wait, we made a list and completed it?
Yeah.
Are we really Geminis?
We both have significant Virgo placements.
Yeah, that's true. God, and thank the gods for that.
Yeah, right? Thank the gods for Virgos.
Thanks for Mercury balance.
Yes.
Good stuff. Marissa, thank you so much for coming on. I always have a blast talking to you. I think you're close up there in the list of recurring guests. I always like having you on. Like, not in terms of, like, just in terms of amount of times you've been on. You know what I mean? Like,
yep. You're not keeping a ranked list of people that have come on your show.
And then when they say something I don't like, I cross their name off.
You're like, that's going to move you down a spot on the list.
No. But I do have Libra placements, so I might do that.
Oh. Don't be calling out
sick,
Libras like that.
Sick burn on Libras, dude.
Yeah. Ouch. Hurts.
I got Libra Mercury.
I've got a Libra Sun. Don't even.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I'm a Libra Sun.
Dude, y'all are.
Yes.
Libra Sun is like low key. Like.
Weird.
Yeah, I just feel like Libra is low key vicious. Not like in a bad way, but like. Libra can be fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a fucking scales of justice, bro. Like,
yeah, bro, there's a sword.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Like,
Saturn is exalted there.
Maybe like, savage. Maybe savage is the word I'm looking for. Vicious is like vindictive. You know what I mean? But like, yeah. Like, I feel like Scorpio takes all the heat.
Yeah, I've got prominent placements in Libra and Scorpio. So,
yeah. And like I said, I got Libra Mercury, and I feel like sometimes I can cut right there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like
mm-hmm.
very calculated. Like,
it's good. It's good to be able to do that, but it's also good to know when to do it.
Yes,
that's going to be helpful.
The journey of my life.
I do think that's the difference between like kindness and niceness, though. You know, like kindness is making that cut sometimes.
Yeah.
Like. Saying the uncomfortable thing that's actually going to like help someone in the long run. Like if you're the person who's going to tell someone that they have spinach in their teeth, like it's hard in the moment, but it's so good over the long run. Like then they don't like, oof, man, when you find out you have something in your teeth and no one has told you all day, you're like, who the fuck? How could you?
Y'all betrayed my ass. Y'all
yeah,
betrayed
exactly.
my ass.
I'm like, I have been betrayed.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like I think that's the real homie. Like, the one that will tell you what you don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You need friends like that.
Yeah. Like one time, like I was saying some shit and you were like, came over with like some fucking alcohol cleanser and you were like, put this on your body. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And you were like, you got a fucking ghost in you, man. So I was like, being on some defeatist shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, I'm so glad that you said that.
Yep.
It's like you've got spirit spinach in your teeth.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you need to fucking wipe that off of you. Here's a toothpick, a spiritual toothpick.
I think I said thank you for coming on. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. I always have a great time talking to you, Marissa. It's been a blast.
Thank you for having me.
Remember to go to marissagambrudi.com. Check her out on Instagram at Inheriting
It's
Ecstasy.
Inheriting.ecstasy.
Cool.
Yep.
And to, her posts go up there and you can check her out. We
Thanks.
Will do this again soon. Yeah, thank you. Do you experience weird shit? Do your parents not like to tell their friends about what you do in the woods? Do you make more friends in a graveyard than you do at a party populated by living humans? Do you have interactions with beings that are not strictly considered human? Do other people look at you like you're crazy when you mention talking to trees in casual conversation? If you fist pumped or even just answered yes to any of these questions, you may be a nightbird. So let's sing together. If you'd like to come on the show and flap your gums with me, share your stories, or just talk about the malleable nature of reality for a while, then send me an email at tim@nightbirdpodcast.com. That's tim@nightbirdpodcast.com. I'd love to have you on the show. But until then, I gotta fly. But before I go, let me say this. Remember, you are never alone. I believe you.